back in chapter 6. All right, we, you know, last week I talked about, as it relates to holiness, talking about how, you know, what we behold, we become. And I made mention of when the children of Israel was in the wilderness, and when those snakes started biting them, and they needed, well, the Lord God told Moses, say, raise up that that snake that was on that that was on the stick, and so everybody that looked up on it would live. And so, you know, when we look at that, matter of fact, all in the Old Testament was always pointing us to Christ. And so, when he raised up the snake, what it represented was it represented Christ. Now, you know, we might say, you know, how in the world could a snake represent Christ? Well, the reason why, because when Christ was on the cross, Christ became sin. You with me? And so so whenever that snake was lifted up, everybody who looked upon it lived. And then there's another type and shadow of Christ. There, remember the children of Israel when they were when the manna fell. And remember the manna, you couldn't carry it over to the next day. That manna was really representing Christ, because he's called the bread of life, right? And so when they would eat that bread, that is the reason why. The children of Israel, when they came out, they weren't sick. The Bible said they were loaded when they came out. Why? It was because once they ate the bread, once they ate Christ, and this is another thing that we need to take note of. It's just a little side journey at the beginning. There's another thing we need to take note of. The reason why that bread would become stale after. I would mold after a day and stuff, because we're supposed to partake of Christ on a daily basis. See, you really can't live off yesterday's manna. That's why it's so important for us to, you know, to really get in the Word of God on a daily basis, because the Word of God is the thing that really, we're talking about in this chapter here, we're talking about disarming sin. So the author, the first thing he starts talking about is being born again. And so when we're born again, you already know that once you're born again, accepted Christ, everything that Christ did on the cross, we've accepted everything. Everything that he's done, when I understand the finished work of Christ, and it's got to be by revelation, that's what the apostle is really trying to get in us. You know, we can hear something and really not be able to conceive it. But we got to hear and hear and hear. That's why there's got to be a study, a hunger for more of God and more about the knowledge of God's grace. Because the more we get knowledge of it, the more freer we become. Because, see, it's not going to do us any good if we just hear the message of grace. You know, the apostle told us that it's not really a message. Grace is a person. But the more we hear of the grace of God, the more we'll begin to, the light will come in, we'll begin to see, and we'll begin to see scriptures as it relate to Christ and not the law. And so I was sharing with somebody that, let me tell you something. It was this pastor. I saw him today at a funeral, and he came up to me, and no, he didn't come up to me. He was coming up in the pulpit, and I was sitting right on the side, so I shook his hand on the way up. But some years ago, you know, he and I were real good friends. And so something happened in his life. And, you know, he made some big mistakes. So I walked away from it, you know, because, you know, I said, you know, I don't want to be associated with somebody, you know, who got this kind of reputation. So I saw him today, and so I talked to him. I told him, I said, look, you know what? You know, you made some mistakes, and I judge you, which I was wrong. See, the thing about it is we have to admit that, you know, we judge folk. I mean, why would Jesus just come straight out, just fly straight out and just say, don't judge? Why would he say that? Why would he say that? Because he never intended for us to judge each other. Because if the truth be told, all of us got faults. You understand what I'm saying? We all got faults. And so, you know, so this thing is, let me tell you something else that happened. This happened to me. This happened yesterday. You know, I'm preaching and, you know, about the grace of God. And it had this lady that came up. You know, I say, somebody, you just feel like, you know, you're a failure. You just feel like, you know, you just feel condemned. And this lady, she came up. She had her hand in her pocket, you know, had her pants sagging and stuff. You know, she living a lesbian lifestyle. And so the next thing I know, another lady came up, and they was holding hands. I remember, boy, look, they would have went to hell. But look, what? They would have went to hell up at that altar Sunday. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, Lord. I said, oh, Jesus. So here it is. I'm preaching grace. You understand? And all of a sudden, that religious background I had, you understand? I said, oh, Jesus, what I do now? The Lord said, you can't really help folk until you show them love and compassion. You can't help folk. And so I had some of the people to come up, some of the ladies to come up and just embrace them. And do you know, man, the power of God hit those folk, and man, you could see a breaking, because all of a sudden we've been rejected and we've been received. Lord have mercy, you understand what I'm saying? And so now I've got to flow with God, you understand what I'm saying? I got to flow with God because I'm not used to this. We want to take them in the back and tell them how they're going to hell if they don't get themselves together. You understand what I'm saying? But the thing about it is, it's really, and this is what I thought about. You know, it's just like, you know, this don't even make sense. You know, a fisherman, he's out fishing, and he, you know, and fish jumping out of the water, and he's trying to scale them before he even catch them. You know, you can't scale them. And the thing about it is, what I learned through grace is that it's not even our responsibility to even get them clean. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. God, the grace of God, amen, he's responsible. The scripture that we just finished reading, the pastor just finished reading in Titus, it says that this grace, it trains us to resist ungodliness. Hallelujah. So it's the compassion of God. You know, Lord help me, Lord Jesus. I thought about, you know, the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son? Let me get my lesson here. But the prodigal son, the Bible says, the Bible's talking about this boy, how, you know, he went outside. He said, you know, Father, I want all of my stuff, you know, what falleth to me and stuff. Really, if you're going to Deuteronomy and you find out, the Bible talks about, as it relates to the law of Moses, the Bible talks about how, you know, when a son is rebellious and he's a glutton and that kind of thing and drunkard, the Bible said that you're supposed to take him, carry him out in the city, call for the elders, and let them stone him. That was the law. Why in the prodigal, when Jesus was explaining about the prodigal, why in the world, because you got to understand now, when Jesus was ministering, the new covenant was not in effect after Jesus died. So when Jesus was ministering, they were still under the old covenant. So Jesus is ministering to people who understand that old covenant, and Jesus is telling them about the prodigal son. He's giving the parable of the prodigal son. So they're wondering how in the world, you know, that boy was supposed to be stoned. But the Bible says that when he started feeding those pigs, the Bible said he came to himself. And that's just like the pastor just said, that boy ain't coming himself to because he got some great revelation. That boy was hungry. Hunger made him think about what was back at his father's house. You understand what I'm saying? So when he went back to his father's house, the Bible says that when the father saw him afar off, said the father, he began to run toward that boy. And when the boy had his little speech he had done practice, you know, about how he was going to tell his father, you know, he wasn't even worthy and all that kind of stuff. The father really didn't pay him no attention. While he was saying that, the father said, look, somebody bring him a ring. I want somebody to bring him a robe. I want somebody to bring him, you know, some slippers, and we're going to get this fatted calf, and we're going to have a feast with this boy. Because my son that was there, now he's alive. He was blind, but now he sees. So Jesus was trying to show them that this is what I came in here to bring. I came to bring a new order. Well, he should have been condemned. The prodigal should have been carried out into the city and stoned. But Jesus, the Bible said that this boy was forgiven. His father forgave him. And the older son that was in the house, it represents the church, because we can see somebody. We say, well, God, I've been in church all this time. You know, I hadn't been doing nothing wrong. Lying like a dog. All us got folks. Yeah. Yeah. You may not done what the other person did, but you did something just as bad. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I'm telling you, class, that once we really get a revelation of this grace, man, your whole life, when you start reading scriptures, scriptures start jumping out at you. Because the lens you're looking through now is the lenses of grace. You understand what I'm saying? You're not looking through the lenses of the law no more. You're looking through the lenses of grace. And so when you're doing that, now all of a sudden now you got compassion for folk. And I'm gonna tell you something else to do. It delivers you from talking about people. I'm telling you, it deliver you from talking about folk. So I told him, I said, man, you know, I told the priest, I said, man, I was wrong for judging you. I said, you know, and I started sharing with him about grace. Guess what he did? Guess what he did? Started crying. Hallelujah. This was a bishop. Man, I said, man, you just don't know what you just did for me. No. You need to realize what Christ did for you.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
My God. Hallelujah. He said, man, listen to me. Condemnation, that is the reason why a whole lot of folk can't walk free, because of the condemnation. Condemnation carry a whole lot of weight. Carry a whole lot of fear. You know, we talk about stress, you know, cause major disease and stuff, but guess what? Guess where stress comes from? Stress really comes from condemnation. Fear comes from condemnation. And when you're walking in these things, when you're walking in condemnation, you really don't have freedom. You're really not walking in freedom. Hallelujah. When that lady, after the accusers had left her, and Jesus said to her, Jesus said, "Why your accusers? Why those that condemn me?" She said, "They say that there's none." Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." See, this is the way the church has put it. The church has said that go your way and sin no more, and then we won't condemn you. But Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." The no condemnation come first, and the no condemnation will give you the power to go and sin no more. See, a person that's not under condemnation, there is a power. There is a power that he has now that puts him in a position to not sin anymore. The grace of God put him in a position to not to sin anymore. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Let's go here now. When you're talking about the new birth, the first thing, you know, we have to be born again. You know, that was a teaching out one time, all inclusive, which is not godly. You with me? I said, it's not godly. You know, they said, you know, everybody that's born in the world, you know, is saved already, and God has forgiven them for their sin. That's not true. A person has to be born again to be free from sin. I said, have to be born again. in John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that are called upon his name. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So as many as will open up to Jesus and say, Jesus, have mercy, forgive me, then sin will loosen its grip. It's a new birth. It's the beginning of the adventures in the holiness. Everything takes its root in righteousness. When the Son of God is received into your life with all your heart, every other blessing in heaven begins to follow. Psalms 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed as the eagle. So if it's your choice to be free from filthiness, there's a blood flowing from Emmanuel's vein. My goodness. Ready to cleanse you and sanctify you and make you whole. For us now as believers, it's like us standing under the Niagara Falls with the blood just steady flowing on us. There's a never ending flow. So I cannot walk in condemnation and thinking that, you know, all God want to do is punish me. You with me? Hallelujah. Glory to God, because that cleansing is always taking place. So the author here, he says about sit down and think. In Proverbs 5:12-15, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ears to them that instruct me. In Haggai 1:5, it says, now therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So, you know, one of the things that, like the apostle said, when we get caught up, when we start teaching grace and we mix it with the law, then it grace really loses its potency. It really loses its strength because it's been watered down or it's been diluted with the law. But when we understand, man, you understand, there's a confidence and there's a joy that comes from understanding, you know, that, hey, man, the price already been paid. So guess what? Now it gives me, the Bible even talks about, now the author talks about a conscience. He talks about conscience. Now, our conscience really, when Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden and God told them, say, you know, you can eat from any of these other trees, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I don't want you to touch this one. So whenever Eve ate of the forbidden fruit from that tree of good and evil, see, we develop a conscience. And guess what? Your conscience will condemn you. Your conscience, yep, you know why? Because your conscience, that part of you, your conscience knows justice. It knows that, you know, that's got to be punishment for something wrong. And so watch this. I understand now what Paul said, my conscience bear witness with the Holy Ghost. Because if your conscience not bear witness with the Holy Ghost, then your conscience, let me see. They say that there's a saying, you know, let your conscience be your guide. But if your conscience is not properly trained, it could be a terrible guide. You know, when the apostle was talking about, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And he was talking about, you know, the Bible said that when the Spirit, when it expedient that I go, because, you know, if I don't go, the Comforter can't come. And he was talking about the Comforter, and he was talking about how, you know, what he was going to do. So what we have been taught for years is that the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. But we saw from that scripture, the Holy Spirit really is convicting people who don't know Christ of their sin. So for the saint, for the child of God, what the Holy Spirit does, it convicts you of your righteousness. Yeah. 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 What you mean? What you mean? I mean that when you make a mistake and the Holy Spirit is saying, get up from there. You're righteous. You're righteous. Don't stay there in the same old dump that you've been in. Now watch this. You say, well, Pastor, I'm sorry, but you know, I know it's been the Holy Spirit that has condemned me sometimes for my wrong. No, that was your conscience that condemned you. That wasn't the Holy Ghost. Because all you gotta do is just go to the scripture. Because it said that he will reprove the world of sin. And us because of righteousness, because the Son of God, Jesus had to leave. And then he said, of righteousness because the prince of this world is judged. Satan is judged. You understand what I'm saying? So when Jesus was on that cross, all the anger, the wrath of God, everything that God had against the sin of mankind, he took it out on Jesus. Took it out on everything, everything. He took it out on him when he was on the cross. Why Jesus said, Father, why have thou forsaken me? Jesus went to pay the price for our sin. It's done. It's finished. It's over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now I can walk in the thought, well, watch this. Our religious ideas, because we've heard for so long that, you know, you got to walk a certain way and that kind of thing and stuff. See, the Holy Spirit, he is the one that's going to, the Bible says he leads and guides us all too. He helps us to walk the way that we should walk. You understand what I'm saying? It's not by our human effort. It's not by, you know, trying to achieve. It's about receiving. It's, you know, it just seems like it's just too easy. But the devil he's hookwinked us. Oh, Jesus. So much to the point that, amen, the enemy makes us feel like, you know, the enemy makes us feel like, you know how that person is living. You know how they, see, it keep on trying to make you go back to the law. Keep on trying to make you go back to judging folk. Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, if I keep on judging them, amen, I'm going to keep judging myself. Yeah. The Bible say if your conscience condemn you, if your heart condemn you, amen, how many of you know the Spirit of God, God is greater than your heart. He's greater than your conscience. Hallelujah. So watch this, y'all, watch this. So what it does for the child of God, see, the grace of God is teaching us how to live holy. So I don't have to have a bunch of signs saying, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do this. Are y'all with me here? Let me ask y'all a question. Let me ask you a question. I don't know about y'all, but, you know, I've had this problem. I've been sitting in the doctor's office. You know, you're sitting there, you're waiting, you put you in that little room. You know, because they got a lot of little rooms, and they got to go through all these people before they get to you. And they got a door over here. On the door, they got, do not enter. Something on the inside of you want to enter. Now, y'all may not be like I am. I have gotten out of the chair where I was. You know, they have you sitting on this thing, you know, they got the little paper, you know, the little tissue, whatever that is on the thing. So they got you sitting on that till they come in. You with me? And so, you know, I've gotten off of there. Went there to that door, opened that door and peeped in there. Oh, okay. And then try to slam it back, you know, try to close it real easy before the doctor can get in there. And then by the time they come in and catch you, you start yawning. Hallelujah. Because, watch this, y'all. Because there's a nature in us, amen, whenever there's a do not, it stirs something up in us. It stirs up the mischief that's in us. Just like you have a group of teenage boys, you know, walking down the street, you understand what I'm saying? Walking down this long road, and they got a greenhouse over here, you know, the greenhouse, you know, with the glass all in, with the flowers, keep the plants and stuff like that. And the greenhouse is over there, and they just going there just having fun, a bunch of them, you know, just, you know, full of mischief. You understand what I'm saying? And then they just walk right on past that greenhouse, and then they get down here and they see another one down here, but they got big red letters on this one over here that says, you know, that if you throw rocks, you know, and break glass, you're going to jail. Guess what's gonna happen? They're going to get a handful of rocks, and they're going to throw over there, and they're going to take off running. Once they see nobody looking, they're going to do it. Why? Why didn't they throw rocks at the first house? Because, amen, there was no sign there. That stirred up. The Bible said that the strength of sin is the law. It'll stir. Say amen. When you start saying the law, it'll stir you up to do what they telling you not to do. The Apostle Paul in the seventh chapter, I got to read in the seventh chapter of Romans, Paul say, the thing that, you know, that I would, I don't, and the thing that I hate doing, that's what I wind up doing. Then Paul, we got to the end of it, Paul said, what shall deliver me from the body of this death? Then he said, I thank God. And I think it's 7 and 29. He said, I thank God that through Jesus Christ, that's the only way that I'm going to get free from this foolishness, this frustration, trying to live a life, amen, apart from doing it through Christ, by trying to do it by the law. Paul, the Apostle Paul, how, let me calm down here. The Apostle Paul, you know, the Apostle Paul as, you know, you sit down there, man, the pastor get you all stirred up. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. I mean, you understand? I'm talking about man when that light come on. You understand what I'm saying? Light. When light come on, then life comes in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ooh, Lord, how much? Let's get me excited. You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you, man, it's our time to really triumph. To really, you understand what I'm saying? Don't mean that we're not gonna have challenges. But guess what? Amen. Because our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience, now we can have the full assurance of faith. Yeah. See, my faith doesn't have to be, I don't have to be thinking, you know, that God is holding something against me, or God is punishing me for this. So I can't really believe. My faith is not full blast because I think that, you know, I'm kind of halfway thinking that, you know, God, and I think God may be holding me for this. I did something in my life, back in my life, you know, I think God may be holding me for it. So I don't have a full blast of faith. I'm kind of halfway believing God, halfway doubting it. But when my conscience been sprinkled with pure, with blood, he's talking about what Christ did on the cross, what he did at Calvary. When my conscience been, I got to have my conscience sprinkled with blood, with that blood. You understand? It's because I just told you that your conscience, amen, your conscience will demand punishment. You'll be saying to yourself, man, you know, I got to pay for what I did. You know, I did some things, you know, that I'm not too proud of, and I guess God is going to take me through this trial that I'm going through and stuff. And so now I got more faith for something, for some calamity, for something happening to me, you know, some evil happened to me, than to have something good happen to me. But watch this. But when I understand the goodness of God, then that's why the Bible said the goodness of God leads to repentance. And like the apostle said, we thought that repentance means, oh, Lord, forgive me. You know, Lord, I won't do it again, so you won't hold it against me. No, repentance just means the goodness of God leads a person to change their mind. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because they was thinking, they was going the wrong way, but the goodness of God said, man, God is just too good. That's exactly what happened to Peter. That's how Peter got converted on that boat. Peter said, oh, Lord, this is just too good. Yeah. And so when we... My goodness, Lord, have mercy. We didn't get far, did we? Lord, have mercy. The goodness of God. I say the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Let's see. Glory to God. You know, I'm trying to get back to this, and I'm so glad. I'm so glad that. Now, let me say this. Let me say this. Oh, Jesus, help me. I'm not glad to be at this school because I'm one of the instructors. Because I had decided in my mind that when I graduated from here in 94, that I was going to be a lifelong student. That I was going to come sit under the apostle year after year. And so I'm saying that to say this. I'm so glad that, you know, God opened his eyes up to this grace message. Lord, because You know, I know y'all heard me say this in the class. Y'all heard me say this. Say these people here preaching about this grace. Grace, there ain't no grace without repentance. You know, I'm just, you know, just because I want to put the law with it. But if the apostle would not have been bold enough to hear God, then I'd have still been preaching the law. And this is what is about to happen in the life of the people. There's a supernatural endowment that's about to hit the people of God like we ain't never saw before. Because God could not move in that capacity because the law, because whenever the preaching of the law is in place, it cuts the supernatural. See, it causes us to think that, you know, it's by self-effort, but once we operate in grace, we lose the supernatural in our life. Now the supernatural power of God is available to operate in our life on a, you know, I'm walking and I'm asking God, I'm saying, God, you know, there are some things that I thought that you were holding back from me. Now, I just want to ask you to just go ahead and turn it loose now. You know, the devil had me hook, wing, and thought, had me thinking, Lord, you know, you've been mad with me all these years. But Lord, if you understand, Lord, thank you that everything is about to break loose now. Oh, everything breaking loose. Everything breaking loose. Everything that the devil had tied up, you understand what I'm saying? All of it's breaking loose now. I'm telling you, you're going to start seeing it. And the more light you get on this, amen, the more you're going to see manifestation. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God said, because I'm good. That's what I want to do it. I want to do it for you. It has nothing to do with your goodness. It don't have nothing to do with your righteousness. It has to do with my righteousness that I placed on you. He that became sin, amen, he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God. Can't nobody take it from me. Right. Hallelujah. It even have you with a little bounce in your step. You know, you're walking now. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You understand? You know, at one time, you know, as a Christian, you know, you're walking, you know, just kind of walking, you know, with your head down, you know, and just stuff. But now, this thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then they put a jaw in you that's unspeakable and full of glory. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Glory to God. And I start thanking God. I said, Lord, you know, you had all this available for me all along. And I'm just not finding this out. God, you've been good all this time. And they lied to me. I've been robbed. But guess what? I'm taking back. Devil, everything that you robbed me of, I'm getting it back seven times. Do you know how much stuff that's been stored up? You know how much stuff that's been robbed from you? You know how much stuff you got coming back? Ooh, that's glory to God. That's something that's being loose. And that's something that's being loose. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ooh, watch this. There's some things that you tried and it didn't work. Amen. When you go back this time, it's going to work. Glory to God. Y'all sit down. This is the class. Y'all give me five. Hallelujah. But they said there's something that this grace get you stirred up, man. Get you stirred up. I'm not talking about, you know, this ain't no pet rally. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. This is reality. Glory to God. Jesus, glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, y'all. All right, y'all. Y'all finish read. Six, maybe we'll get to it next time. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, man, you're gonna say You're just going to start just seeing manifestation after manifestation after manifestation. One thing on the heel of another. One thing happened on the heel of another. Hallelujah. They got people. They got people that's been trying to find you. God has spoke to them about blessing you. And they've been looking for you. Watch how you gonna folk gonna say, you know, I've been looking for you. Where have you been? Look, the Lord told me to do this for you. And the Lord been told them a long time ago, but they couldn't find you until you found grace. Ooh, y'all better stop. All right, y'all finish reading chapter 6. Hallelujah. Lord.